Fine by me.
Button, who's got the button?
I think you do.
Yes, but I do so many games now where somebody else asks me to press the button. Who do I ask to press? Crash, can you just press the button already? Already did. Thank you. Okay. Because that entire conversation was recorded. Hello, and welcome to Pack Tactics Season 4. It started as a little one-shot adventure, and now it's Season 4. Not unlike a Halloween special in GURPS.
That's not my fault.
Yes, it is. Because you made it awesome enough that you wanted to keep playing those characters.
Yes, that's right. You people went and decided to do another one. I will maintain that this is another one-shot. It just happens to have the same characters.
Another one-shot that the way things are going might actually last until the following October.
I'm not saying anything.
Because I think the last episode I uploaded to the server for podcasting is going live in late August. We're getting close to September now.
This is not my fault. Anyway.
Anyway, my name is Crash. I'll be your DM or GM, depending on who you're talking to, for the evening. Tonight, I'm joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, Io, Jen, and special guest Crash. So what happened last time?
I don't remember.
Rubble.
Oldest Kep needed a landing pad.
Right, we went and cleared the landing pad.
Yes, which was...
Okay, I remember now.
It was trivial. It was very easy to do.
It just had a giant, horrible crystal thing.
That happened to be controlling two... very large beam weapons that shot everything that moved, including plants that were growing too close.
I feel like if it could be configured to do the weeding, that there are some people who would actually like that. You know, the automatic weeding machine. Unfortunately, we are not weeds. Also, we fight back.
And if I browse through the out of context quotes, we have the pile of bones does not need to be humanoid. Taking a domain, gotcha. This is correct. It's technically a, using air quotes here, minotaur. And the large energy weapons were, using air quotes again, lasers. Taking domain name in vain. Most kobold ships don't fold more than once.
Any ship can fold once.
Yes. And then you tow them out of the environment. I've been told Gox will be coming through first, not Crunchy.
Oh, right.
Oh, there will be crunching sounds.
Yeah.
Bapaki, what do you think about this? Bapaki's already halfway there. I regret to inform you that the Shrike ship was not towed out of the environment. I am not capable of cowering, as I do not have emotions, but I want you all to know this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to delete the other Bapaki because I don't think the world is ready for two Bapakis. Io has found the loophole. The walls don't work if you can't see them on the map. And
I did not mean to find that loophole.
It was a great loophole, and I think I've adjusted so that it will not happen again, so long as I remember to keep adjusting to make sure it will not happen again. But also, that is very strong. Those rules can't affect me because I can't read energy.
As a party wizard, it is my duty to accidentally find loopholes in reality.
Agreed. A makeshift skeletal minotaur, two skeletal draconic hands, a group of cultural kobolds, and a human all walk into a storage room. It was not a bar.
Oh my.
What if we cast mending before it turns to dust?
I don't remember that one, but I believe that we did it.
Well, it was a question.
The folders.
Yes, the vial
folders. Right.
There is a reason why I'm reading these out of context quotes, because they jog your memory about what happened.
Yeah.
I'm also not reading all of them, because some of them won't jog your memory. Skeletal lizard is the opposite of fizz gig. Yes, that one is also true. She loves them. They're beautiful. Make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh no, I don't remember that one.
I don't either.
Well,
oh right,
the little energy things that the crystal thing couldn't get out of the way of because it was too large to move into an unoccupied space. So the entire time it was on fire and getting attacked by tiny little energy-based spectral Tiamats.
Yes.
And
multi-headed dragons are so cute and adorable.
That required it to make a wisdom saving throw every turn.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And one of them also did growl at Sori.
She thought it was adorable and she loved it and she's so sorry she forgot their name. I think she has figured this one out. Thank you. She has very low intelligence, but her wisdom is high. Well, not very low. Somewhat low intelligence, and her wisdom is high.
Funny, I can't find a name for this artwork.
Hmm.
Weird. We're doing a different Foundry map setup, dear listeners. So you're actually missing less because there's no walls on this map, but it does allow for us to access the characters, organize them into initiative order, and for me to toss art at people. Discord is for GIFs. Foundry is for important plot-related art. Apparently.
Apparently.
Yes. Oh, there's this
That's
one too.
That's fair.
With a tiny little dragon priest at the bottom, also known as a snack.
Snack. Trad, I missed it.
All right. So, we have recouped what happened last time. After last time, a few things happened. One, you get a long rest.
Oh, good.
Yes. So, spells are
long
recovered.
Long rest.
Two,
I'm by long rest.
Oldest Kep is able to bring the angel ship in for a landing on the landing pad. It just fits if you turn it sideways. And by sideways, I mean the wings are going north-south as opposed to east-west. Oh. It would have been sideways on the map, not actually landing perpendicular. That only happened once, and it wasn't Old Kep's fault.
Is Old Kep the one who's steering?
Yes. But in Old Kep's defense, Old Kep was told to come in sideways and hadn't been told what sideways meant in regards to a vehicle that can rotate 360 degrees on multiple axes.
Honestly, I feel like this is incredibly fair.
And you are reintroduced because those of you who are from the same clan that took care of Sori and Long Kep would know these people. Of course, Old Kep. You know Old Kep. Everyone knows Old Kep, and because all old people know each other, Old Kep knows Old Rob and Karasinda for some strange reason.
Okay,
it is a bond that traverses game mechanics
and universes
and fourth walls.
Yes,
but there are two additional individuals on the ship, just two more. Because they didn't have any long-distance carriers. There was only one of them. And that one became physics. So,
or at least the flying part became physics. And the rest of it became a meteor. And then yes. It became physics.
Well, physics were applied to it, in any case. So
mass
they only had
acceleration.
They only had three kobolds on this one and a lot of the kobold equivalent of MREs.
That's all right. As part of the backstory, the clan was facing a terrible famine once, and the thing that Sori was entombed with in her little protective bubble that apparently stunted her growth was one of those jugs of condiments. So everyone lived on ranch dressing and honey for a while until the famine stopped.
Well, yes, this is also why none of the kobold MREs have anything flavored remotely like honey or ranch dressing.
I mean, that is fair.
It may have been banned by executive order and approved upon by the Circle of Tales.
Yes. There will be hugs.
Although you have learned that since you left, the Moss argument has actually become a competitive event.
Sort of like debate club.
Yes, if the debate was on how to sort Moss.
I mean, that's fair.
Each clan has their own team.
Of course.
The GM has distracted himself. The GM will give himself inspiration and use it to buy a GM intrusion. Moving forward. So there are two other kobolds, as I've said before, I distracted myself by distracting myself and then distracting myself. Mm. You have Jingling Kep and Round Kep. Round Kep is another pupil of Old Kep, a mage of particular interests, mostly teleportation magic. To that end, Round Kep revealed themselves to be a prodigy when they created their own cantrip, teleport cookie. They need to know where the cookie is, and it needs to be within 2 feet per level of the caster. But they can snap their fingers, pinch their fingers together immediately afterwards, and there's a cookie between their fingers. Or any sugary baked good, actually. This could also be used for snickerdoodles. Thus, the continued debate of whether or not a snickerdoodle is a cookie lives on. It has not achieved the status of the Moss argument in Kobold society, nor is a hot dog a sandwich.
What happens if you put sugar on something that is not a cookie and then bake it?
You know, I had that thought and I tried it, and you know what? So long as there is a certain percentage of sugar, 10% minimum, it tends to work.
Fascinating.
They say in quotes.
But it has to be baked, so you can't actually eat like a bag of sugar in order to be teleportable. But it was worth trying many times.
What if you're heat resistant? How hard do you have to be baked?
Well, if you're heat resistant, you wouldn't actually be easy to bake. Baking requires a chemical reaction in the material being baked. And if you're heat resistant, that reaction isn't going to happen.
Oh, okay.
What about inedible things that have sugar in them and are baked? If one put enough sugar in the clay for a mug, for instance,
I could teleport your sugar, the mug will stay in place.
Even if you mix it into the clay?
You know, I haven't tried that. Roundcap pulls out a notebook.
Yay!
And for the record, if it's non-fired clay, which should have to be the kind of clay you're mixing it in with, the act of firing the clay in order to make it be usable for baking would carbonize and aerosolize the sugar. And if it's truly mixed into the clay, you're looking at an explosive result that in an electric kiln will break the kiln.
Oh no.
Longkep does not know how to cook or how to fire mugs.
What about as a glaze?
The GM has decades of information to provide to you.
If you make a sugar glaze on top of your mug.
Sugar glaze. Let's put it this way. If you write on clay with a pencil, the carbon of the pencil lead will cease to be when firing in a kiln. It'll come out clean.
That's kind of awesome.
Yes. That's what you get when you heat something up to 1,750 degrees.
There you go.
Crematoriums only go to 1,725. But do not cremate a dead body, or a live one for that matter. The moisture in them would wreck the kiln.
True. Yeah. I used to run a kiln when I was in college. It was a non-credit class, but I knew what I was doing. So I was teaching people how to like make, you know, stuff like that goes into the kiln. And that was really fun. But it was in, you had to go through like an entire gym's worth of stuff and people exercising to get to that point. I'm like, well, all right, fine. You know, I learned a lot from that.
At my previous school, we had a small kiln. Mm-hmm. So I got to do ceramics lessons, but I got to see the students 4 times a year because I was a traveling teacher. So it was like, we're going to speed run this, everyone.
Yeah, that's kind of how it went with me.
And then I'll be back next quarter.
It was a non-credit class, so go ahead.
And then I'll be back next quarter and we'll speed run glazing.
Ooh.
Because this is half our lessons for the year. With that said, this is information that you also would be able to get from Jingling Kep, because Jingling Kep is a kobold artificer.
Oh, neat.
Hence the name Jingling Kep, because they have a bandolier and multiple belts, and she pretty much would fail every stealth check. Forget rolling disadvantage. She would just absolutely fail it. She doesn't have rings on her fingers or bells on her toes, but she does make music wherever she goes. And she is fascinated by everything here. Very quickly figures out how to make some small adjustments and add some inventions of her own, which, if you're talking game mechanics wise, some artificers can summon turrets, similar technology to that, basically plugging in that type of machinery into the control panels for the two active turrets at the base. Her wondering.
Sorry is going to.
Sorry. No, you go.
Sori is going to talk about the files that turned to dust, and maybe they were interesting, but she doesn't dare try to touch any more of them. And she doesn't know if they've all fallen to dust now because there was a vibration. And
she doesn't finish her wondering. Instead, she spends the next hour and a half in examining the file cabinets. Good news is nothing's getting shot out of the sky. Bad news is nothing's getting shot out of the sky. It's fine. I'm sure it's fine.
We should watch out for dragons.
It's okay. Old Kep got behind the command center. So I just point this little crosshair thing at whatever I want to blast. Sweet! Where's the crosshair? I can't see it from this distance. It's right in front of you. I can't see that far. Where's my bifocals? They're on your face. Oh, so they are.
Adjust them.
The problem with kobold bifocals is they have such a long snout of a nose that it's hard to adjust for the focal length properly.
That's why you need a little bifocal goggles.
Can you use prestidigitation to make things sticky?
Well, you can use it to make them clean, and you can use it to change colors. And you can use it to create small trinkets. I would say it depends on the GM and the situation.
You can also use it to make things dirty.
Oh, then yes. I would say you can make them sticky, but not so sticky that you would actually get anything bigger than maybe a single fly to be permanently attached. And even then it wouldn't be permanent.
Post-it notes sticky.
You can make a temporary post-it note, which is even more temporary than a normal post-it note. Because remember, post-it notes are permanently temporary.
Along the lines of keeping the glasses from sliding around.
Ah.
Oh, now I get it. Yeah.
Well, the problem is Old Kep readjusts the glasses frequently, depending on what Old Kep is looking at, and then forgets that they were adjusted.
Ah. Yeah. I think it's kind of like the thing, like, where is my phone? Where is my phone? It's in your hand. What?
Yeah. It's... Yeah. Well, I'm channeling myself because I once spent a good half hour trying to find my glasses before I realized that the floor that I was looking at to see if they landed there was in focus.
Bipaki Utashi, this is my teacher.
Oh, hi.
Hello! When Old Kep turns to wave, the whole chair and monitor setup for the controller for that particular energy cannon pivots. Now, fortunately, you're inside the building. But imagine if a large energy weapon turned towards you and somebody turned to wave at you.
At least we're inside.
Yeah.
That is a kind of awesome mental image, because I'm thinking of some of the earlier Star Wars movies where they just, the whole...
I am very much thinking of episode 4.
Yeah.
And by the way, Old Kep doesn't know how Old Kep did that. So Old Kep says, hello, and turns to wave, and then goes in a full 360 degrees. But wait, I don't know. What's going on?
Don't overcorrect.
Hello again. I'm going. How do I stop this thing?
Oh, my. Okay.
Coming around again.
That looks fun. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know.
Depends on how fast you go.
I guess.
So after I told you that we are taking a page out of Cypher System on Ellie's request and allowing for player intrusions and GM intrusions, which are paid for and rewarded with inspiration as opposed to XP, the first GM intrusion is going to Old Kep.
Okay.
Poor Old Kep.
Old Kep is really talented. He's taught me almost everything I know.
Not.
Is Gox part of this group? It's coming.
Not yet. Possibly. Okay. Because
there was a mention last time, so I was kind of like, I don't know.
Yes. Go ahead. Round Kep needs to set up the teleportation circles. They've been brought in large pallets. It looks like they were brought in large pallets. But the large pallets are the teleportation circles.
They unfold?
They need to be cast on a flat surface. So they were cast on a flat surface, and that surface was stacked up with other flat surfaces and put in the cargo hold of the Angel Ship.
I hope that someone thought to engrave on the edges of the flat surface which location or people are going to come out of what flat surface.
They are numbered.
Oh, that's
something.
And once they are set up in secured locations and sort of bolted into place, Round Kep makes a few notations, checks some measurements, checks wind velocity. No idea why checking wind velocity. No one who has anything about teleportation circles thinks that wind velocity has anything to do with anything, but no matter.
There's always a first time, and you better know what the wind velocity is if that happens.
Look, the kid made a cantrip that teleports things because they had the munchies, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, there might be something to it.
If they want additional data, they get additional data. And by kid, I do mean by Kobold standards, definitely a kid. Might be 6 or 7 years old.
That's what, halfway out of kid?
Kobolds reach maturity at age 6, I think.
Okay.
Five or six.
Young adult.
I think Meepo was 4 when first encountered.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They mature quickly, but can live to be like 200 years old, 200, 250, something like that. But in any case, with all of that said, that interjection from Round Kep was made while Round Kep was getting the pallets in the place and doing what needs to be done so that a sending could be used to let people know which teleportation circles are ready to receive people so that they don't try to teleport in for a teleportation circle that is still stacked up against a wall, because that would be funny, but it would probably break some things.
Like people and teleportation circles.
Remembering how teleport works, I believe definitely teleportation circles and possibly also some walls. I recall that you get shunted to the nearest open location and either you take damage or both things take damage.
I don't recall the damage rule, but nearest available safe space is correct for teleport. I'm going off the top of my head, so don't take what I'm saying as canon. For teleportation circle, though, it was just assumed, and there's going to be a free space above the teleportation circle, right? There will be free space above it, right? Okay. The Tarrasque is taking a nap on the teleportation circle. It does say nearest safe space.
Is that on top of the Tarrasque or far away from the Tarrasque?
Off world. You see kobolds appearing in orbit. Whee! I'm physics! Anyway, so that's what Round Kep is doing. Jingling Kep runs in. You know she's going to run in a good 30 seconds before she runs in. She's carrying three notebooks in one hand, a fourth in the other, and a fifth one between her teeth, which she apparently she was dropping it and just used her teeth to grab it real quick. But she spits that out when she gets to you and says, "You have found a treasure trove of information. Oh my gosh, if only I could read any of it."
But you made it not dissolve?
No.
Huh?
I don't know how to do that. It's a fascinating problem.
Yeah. Mending?
Oh, well, if you had all the time in the world, perhaps you could, but that's like taking 10 minutes to put...
Mending before it. Yeah.
Oh, well, trust me, I've tried that.
Mending before it.
I've had a lot of things break, so I thought if I cast mending before they broke, then they wouldn't break, but no, that doesn't work. But good news is, I know a bunch of librarians. You see, the kobold who taught me was taught by a kobold who knows another kobold who knows another kobold who's a librarian. And some of them find like really, really old scrolls where if you open them up, they crack into pieces. Like some of them have been in fires and stuff. And they have some very specific rituals they can do to preserve is the wrong word. Recreate the material is a better description. So I'm going to get in contact with some of them and see if they're interested in stopping by and seeing what goes on.
Good idea.
Okay. At that moment, there is a kobold in the room with you that wasn't there before.
There was some stopping by.
Yes.
Some stopping by.
Well, most of you were hanging out in the south room that you had the fight in because that room had been mostly cleaned. Purified by fire might be a more accurate description. But yeah, it was pretty much cleared of space and Old Kep is still spinning in a circle. It's fine. It's fine.
Oh, no.
Yes. Old Kep did figure out how to stop the circle from spinning in one direction, but now Old Kep is spinning in the other direction.
So he's learning something.
Yes.
He'll be fine. He'll figure it out.
And if you spin really fast in one direction, then start to spin another direction, it doesn't make you more dizzy at all.
No.
Anyone who's ever tried that knows the GM lies. So I am addle-brained and looking for things. Here we go. So the kobold who steps in is red-scaled and wearing a large floppy hat.
It's got to be Gox, right?
Nope.
Yes, no. No,
nope. A
different one?
Monty.
Oh, could be that.
Hello. I am going to select... You know, I can't select characters if I am in the tile controls instead of the character controls.
No, it doesn't work.
The suggestion was made to start an initiative to make sure we don't skip over anyone, which is an excellent idea. If I click the button to add you all to the initiative order, then you can click the button.
Okay.
There. Now I can.
And Bapaki got a 24, so I will add that to the list.
I'm trying to remember how to do this. Oh, there it is.
If you
it's a D20.
If you go to the little icons in the top right corner of your screen, next to the chat box one, there is a pair of cross swords, just like in Cypher System, and you can actually click on the die next to your character to roll.
Okay. Got an 11,
which turns into a 14.16.
Oh my, I forgot about those little points.
Because it adds your dexterity to it just to do tiebreakers.
That's cool.
And I forgot that I put Dazal on this map just to ease things out. So I'm like, why didn't Ellie roll? No, Ellie did roll. Ellie rolled for Bapaki.
I think we left Dazal in the other location.
Yeah,
so.
Dazal is back at the forge. Although might be coming to visit, or people might visit Dazal. Dazal is definitely probably going to want to have a conversation with those librarians. And looks like we just need to roll for Longkep. 814. All right. So, Ellie, what's Bapaki doing?
Probably going around the buildings to make sure there aren't any more creatures to deal with.
Okay. Give me a perception check at disadvantage.
Okay.
All right. With a 14, instincts are telling you that you're definitely not alone out here. But also, as much as that puts you on edge, your intuition tells you it's not somebody who you're going to have to fight.
Okay.
Also, you're hearing more of a commotion from inside one of the buildings. It's possible that the teleportation circles are bringing kobolds in.
Okay.
All right. I should probably click the begin combat button so I can actually keep track of initiative order instead of just looking at the beep. All right. It is Maury's turn. Maury took it upon herself to deal with the kobold remains that were not carbonized. So there is some organization and laying out, and while Maury is not familiar with kobold rituals for the deceased, she does have some talents, then knows some more generic things that can be done. And after everything that's happening, this is her way of trying to cope with PTSD.
That's fair.
Utashi.
Uh-huh.
What are you choosing to do right now?
What would Utashi be doing right now?
Besides watching old Kep spin around?
I guess, yeah. She'd probably be staring at that.
Either watching or like walking around this structure, trying to keep the pace. Mm-hmm. So Utashi can continue to have a conversation with old Kep.
Yeah, that's what she's doing.
This is a really nice conversation, but if you could like help me get out of this or help me stop this.
Maybe? What can I do to make that happen? Let's see.
Give me... Let me look at your character sheet so I say the right thing here. Yep. Give me an investigation roll. You got +3 in that.
Okay. Normal, advantage, disadvantage.
Normal.
Which? Normal. What'd we get? A 9.
So there's this shiny monitor thing that has like lights and lines that are going past.
Look at all that. Oh. She's done. She's right there.
That is what you get for a 9. That was that was one below the threshold number. Sorry.
That's okay. She's just going to stare at it.
After Sori is done being distracted, and if she notices that Maury is laying out bones, I think she would go to help.
Okay.
Just quietly and not chattering.
She's mostly trying to organize them in the room where they've been found. There's so many pieces. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And there's a lot more commotion happening in that first room that was basically a cargo hold that had the garage doors on it. That's the room where the teleportation circles were set up. Only 3 of them have been placed here. There's a few more, but Roundkep said something about wanting to avoid all eggs in the same creche scenario.
Yeah.
So a few will be placed elsewhere, and then a few more will be placed elsewhere.
And some will be hidden carefully.
Mm-hmm. Well, most will be hidden carefully somehow, somewhere, somewhere. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Somebody and
open.
Let me check my notes. That is not my notes. That is the browser I use for work. That is a different button altogether.
These are not my beautiful notes. This is not my beautiful workspace.
The problem is that browser's icon is purple and Obsidian's icon is purple. In my defense, my vision is only slightly better than old Kep's.
Oh, no.
Okay. Give me an investigation check at disadvantage.
Which? Sorry? Or?
Sorry.
Okay. Investigation at disadvantage? Oh, no.
Well, one of those die had a 3 on it. So, yeah. You're,
2.
Yeah, the leg bone is connected to the hip bone. This is correct. It is possible.
I mean,
it is possible that after Sori puts 2 leg bones at the same collection of bones, that Mori goes and swaps out one of the bones that was significantly longer than the other bone for one that's around the same length.
Oh.
But that's not why I had you rolling.
She should not be rolling investigation unless she could somehow swap it in to be a wisdom thing.
Oh, I was specifically rolling
perception instead. Yeah.
You know what? I would accept a perception roll to give you some of what I wanted to reveal.
A disadvantage?
Perception will not have to be a disadvantage because you're going to see some things. You're not going to be told, oh, and this is what they do. All right.
With 13.
So while most animals were kept from this place by giant bombardment cannons, decay still happened. So that's why these are all bones, not mummified remains or whatnot. Most of the organics have gone away, but you do find little bits of jewelry, some of it broken, some of it not broken. The most notable jewelry you find, there's more than one of them. They seem to be little enameled pins that look to denote some type of ranking.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of them have more marks on them than the others. And the more marks, the less likely it is that you find it.
Try to keep them with at least the skulls that they're near.
Okay.
If they're near skulls.
There's plenty of skulls to go around. This room had more kobolds in it than it looked like would normally fit in here comfortably. If they were doing tasks, it's likely they fled into this spot trying to get away from something. You're pretty sure you know what they were trying to get away from.
Things. Probably dragons or else elf armada things somehow inside.
That's a guess. So, me and a few other rogues thought we'd pop in, see what was going on before everyone else came in. How are you all doing? Having all kinds of adventures?
And where is Monty up for that one? Talking to Papaki?
No. I said Monty was in the room with you.
Oh, okay.
So, the Papaki sensed somebody. I'm hinting that they're a rogue. I have not given a name or revealed.
True. There is a rogue with, a red rogue with floppy hat and probably other rogues as well. Sori did not notice anything and will therefore go eep and sort of jump. She is not going to whip around and breathe fire at anyone.
That'd be hilarious to see it happen.
Yes.
Actually, wait. No, Sori wouldn't be there because you said Sori was helping Mori.
That's right. So
Sori would not have seen Monty. So Monty is there with Old Kep and Utashi.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're just in here watching Old Kep go in circles then.
I think so, because I don't know how to stop that from happening.
Well, that can't be too hard. Let me see if I can help. Monty climbs up on it, and with a frickin' 23, and this has nothing to do with what Monty is actually in reality. Well, reality, that's a funny word in a game like this. Monty has a +4. That's still a 19 on the die, which is well above the threshold. Here's the thing. This thing here, like, you had it pushed all the way over this way, and it starts spinning the other way. And then you push it all the way over this way, and it starts spinning the other way. But you don't push it all the way. That's for max speed. Just put it like right in the middle here. You see? Now we've stopped.
Ah.
And you can push it this way. It goes this way. You push it this way. It goes this way. And old cap starts to change color.
Uh-oh.
And just sort of falling over the side.
Oh, no.
What? Something wrong?
I think something's wrong with... I don't know. Maybe he's too dizzy now.
I would like to get off the ride. It needs to stop moving. You are off the ride. It's not moving anymore. Are you sure? I'm pretty sure it's moving.
Maybe you should sit down for a while.
I think I broke old cap.
Uh-oh.
Also, Jen, am I correct in assuming that if Gox came through as part of the early Vanguard, that Gox would also want to go and scout around?
Yeah, he probably would.
Would he do that as a kobold or a dragon?
Oh, wow.
Because we're coming up to Papaki's turn in the rotation.
Okay.
And I'm certain that Papaki would notice Gox.
Yeah.
So how much of Gox does Papaki notice?
That's a good question. Yeah, he'll probably come in as a gold dragon. And if he's carrying other people from whatever ship he was on, they might be riding the gold dragon.
No, remember, he wasn't on a ship. He teleported him.
Oh, right.
Only three kobolds were sent. So,
okay.
Yes. So,
so he comes out of a portal?
He teleports in on a teleportation circle that Roundcap installed. So he's in a cargo bay, and then he can leave the cargo bay and go exploring. When he goes to explore, he is almost instantly going to be seen by Papaki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he'll probably... Okay, so he'll go through the portal, and then he'll go out and turn into his dragon self, a gold dragon, and just kind of like scout around, like go up and fly around a bit, see what's up.
Okay, Papaki, you turn a corner around a building and immediately see an adult gold dragon. You're pretty sure there wasn't one there before you turned the corner.
Mm-hmm. Papaki does not know how to respond to this.
Okay, so Gox figures he's scared this kobold that he's not met yet and turns back into himself. Hi, sorry to scare you.
Hi, you're supposed to be here?
I think so. I'm supposed to be scouting around. My name's Gox.
Hi, Gox. I'm Papaki.
Nice to meet you.
Most of the dragons that I've seen here have tried to kill me. So.
Oh, no. No, I'm a kobold at heart. I started that way, but the dragon thing was given to me by a friend, and it's really useful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I bet.
Yeah, it's really good. Sometimes it does freak people out, so that's why I came and like showed you who I really am. But yeah.
Well, you might want to introduce yourselves to the folks inside, because they're going to be a little startled, too, if they see you wandering around.
Oh, yeah, that's probably right. Okay, where do I go? Over there? Which room?
I think they were in the main building.
Okay, cool. I'll go in there and say hello. I go marching in.
As you go back to start marching in, I want to describe them as a gaggle of librarians.
Whoa.
Come out of the cargo bay and just make a beeline for the north building where the records were found.
Okay, I guess they're busy.
They may actually be led. No, they are not being led by Jingling Cap. Jingling Cap does need to finish installing the automated defenses. So they're not being led by Jingling Cap, although in spirit they are.
Okay. So I suppose I'm like stuck in a stream of the librarians going by.
Oh, no, it's a small gaggle. It's a small
gaggle. Okay.
Yeah, it makes you pause for like 5 seconds. They are moving at double speed.
Wow.
There's
okay,
one of them
I guess
that
they're
apparently,
really excited about stuff. Yeah.
One of them took a few levels in Rogue, so they bonus action dashed, and they're slightly ahead of everyone else.
Uh-huh.
But they were going towards the wrong building, so they had to double back. So they're now behind everyone else, and the look on their face is they're not amused.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to walk in and see whatever's going on in this place.
Okay. When you walk into the cargo hold, are you going to go to the north or the south? You know there's people in both directions. You have the senses of a gold dragon, so I'm not going to make you roll. You know there's people to the north and people to the south. No one's trying to be stealthy. Well, Papachi
was.
Yeah,
no one's. Well, maybe, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to walk in and be like, hi, I'm Gox. You may have heard of me. Sometimes I'm a gold dragon, so don't get scared if you see one. Do you need any help?
So, did you walk to the north or the south? Because that's determined who you're talking to. Okay.
North.
You see Sori and Mori. Mori is
human
just...
A
human and a dragonborn.
With a plush tail.
With a plush tail.
I forgot about that.
Yes. Uh-huh. To be specific, the dragonborn has the plush tail. The mm-hmm. human does not.
Okay. Good to know.
Sometimes to know. I need to... That would be interesting fan art. But no, Mori is just staring at you. You're... Hi.
Hi.
Do you...
This is Mori.
Yes.
Oh, hi, Mori.
Hi. Do you know the funeral rituals that kobolds do?
I think they have some differentiation between which group or which clan.
The GM confirms this, but also yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but overall, if you're giving them a proper burial as you see fit, that would work too.
Okay. Do you want to help us try to organize bones?
Sure. Yeah, that would be an honor to help out with that. I don't know who these people were, but...
They were kobolds...
They were here before the bombardment.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can help with that.
And they all ran in here and then died.
Do you know what they died? Like, what were they running from? Anybody know?
Dragons? Some kind of thing that the Elf Armada did when they bombarded the planet, maybe? Don't know.
Maybe that large crystal thing?
Maybe. Crystal thing?
There was a big crystal thing that tried to kill us. Uh-huh. It was controlling uh-huh. The big energy gun things.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm still struggling with the idea
things,
that...
Or...
Well, yes. Yes, we do. We just don't want them shooting at us. They were shooting at us. But now they can shoot at other All things right, yeah. that aren't us. And that's... Mm. I'm struggling with Important. The idea that this is normal for me now.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, I can help you with the bones.
Thank you.
If you want. Yeah.
They have little rank indicators. See?
Huh. Wow.
I'm trying to keep them with the skulls that they're found nearest because people usually wear rank. I think they're rank things.
Kind of. They usually. Like
they wear them where other people can see them, so they're probably like on their chests or they wear necklaces or something. Or on hats.
Could be that, yeah. All right, well, let's get to work.
Okay. Jen, you said that you mm-hmm. found Gox's character sheet, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have it?
In front of me.
Okay, yeah. Could you have Gox roll an investigation check?
An investigation check, okay.
For the character sheet, you
With
see
gold
to see...
dragon intelligence.
Yes.
Yes, okay, I'm trying to... Investigation check. Okay. I don't know if it's going to actually activate on this sheet.
Oh, it won't. You just have to look for the number that's next to it, then roll a d20 and add the number.
Okay. Investigation is a -2, so...
Oh, that's not using the gold dragon stats then.
I could do that.
Yes.
Give me a second here.
I just screwed this up. Hold on. Or, I don't know. Hang on. Yeah, okay. Let me try this again.
Okay, here's the thing. Just roll a d20. Mm-hmm. Just roll a d20, and I will take care of the rest.
Okay, roll a d20. Oh, wow. That is two 20s. And that's under Atashi, because I didn't put Gox in the thing yet.
That's fine.
Okay.
If you roll two d20, that means you roll two 20s to get a 40.
I did somehow. I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what happened there.
You rolled two nat 20s by mistake.
By mistake. Entirely by mistake. And on the wrong character, technically, but yeah.
Well, you had no other character to roll for. It was fine. What you do is you revel in this glorious moment. Because this will likely never happen again in our campaigns. Oh, wow.
Probably not.
Okay. So it is obvious to Gox. Like, you don't see how they're not seeing it. You assume at first that they were seeing it, but with two nat 20s for investigation, I'm going to say you realize, oh, wait, no, they're not noticing this. Oh, well, I should probably tell them. I mean, when you know a good bacon recipe, you tell people. So you might as well tell them this, too.
Yep.
So chances are, based on the little trinkets that you're finding, it's not just the pins. There's other things, too. Like a little clip that looked like it had something attached to it. Something larger was attached to it, but that would be able to hold something onto a piece of clothing. Like maybe an ID badge.
Oh, yeah.
And this thing here, this like the metal remains that would have been attached to a clipboard. These all look like they were research staff, researching kobolds.
Oh, okay.
None of these, like most of the remains don't look like they'd received damage. Now, you're only looking at the bones, so there's no soft tissue that survived. But right. You're not seeing like the signs of bones that broke and rehealed over time. So these were not kobolds that engaged in lots of combat like you did. Mm-hmm. These were not adventurers. These were civilians. These were eggheads. Although I suppose if you're an egg laying species, it's possible that egghead means something different.
Maybe.
Maybe they're an egghead. So you mean they're a child? No, they're really bright. Your children are all incredibly intelligent? I mean, wait, back up.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, these were all researchers. And
okay.
As you're piecing together what's happening, it's like a Sherlock Holmes moment. Where, combined with Prince Humperdinck looking at the ground in The Princess Bride and saying, there was a sword fight here. They both were masters.
Okay.
It's arranged all over. At this point here, one of them said they weren't left-handed, which is not in the movie, but you rolled two nat 20s and Humperdinck didn't.
Yes.
So there was that.
All right. So I relay this information to Maury and Sori that are helping with the bones.
Mm-hmm. Most likely, the thing that killed them, they didn't understand it was going to kill them until they were already like in full-scale panic mode. They didn't have anyone protecting them. They didn't have any defenses. The defenses were against them. Otherwise, why would they have run into this small room as opposed to out of the building? There are plenty of places to hide out there. This small room is a death trap. It was literally a death trap. The reason to do that would be if outside was worse. The buildings are relatively intact, so this place wasn't being bombarded.
Or attacked by something outside.
And considering the information that you were given by Maury, that the defenses here were attacking everything that moved until something was done about that, they activated the defenses and likely, because none of them were combatants, so they didn't understand certain things. They just thought certain things would be assumed. They set the defenses to attack everything, not everything except us.
Oh,
wow.
And not a single one of them had any tactical training to say, hey, wait a minute. Do we technically count in the anything description?
Oh.
So that's what I'm revealing for two nat 20s.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm going to turn all these secrets green. In Obsidian, I have them red if I haven't revealed them, green if I have. So
okay,
and this one is sense, green, yeah. And this one is green, and this one is green. And
someone rolled 2 nat 20s.
I didn't even know I could. Yeah. So Gox is going to relay some of that over to the other two people that are working with Bones, and kind of explain that these weren't combatants. These weren't adventurers.
These were civilians,
researchers, civilians. I don't know what they did exactly that got them killed here, but yeah,
maybe they summoned the crystal thing, or
I don't know. Maybe what it was, but yeah,
weren't you kobolds building things out of crystals?
Probably.
I don't know. It's been a while.
A robot that looks like it has a skull for a head steps off a teleportation circle.
What are you?
You know.
I'm PT. Nice to meet you.
Okay. Nice to meet you. I'm Gox. I'm trying to help out these people with the skeletons.
Oh. Oh my. I unfortunately do not think I can help with that.
That's understandable.
Well, nice meeting
you. What are you here to help with?
This is, in some sense of the word, where I was born.
Bing, bing.
Well,
oh.
This planet, technically, sort of. That or the very distant future. It's, the more I explain it, the more confusing it usually gets.
Okay.
Didn't we send PT away?
Yes, and PT came back.
Ah!
Just now. My body was built here, but my brain is a big chunk of crystal that was sent back in time. And I've lost you already, haven't I?
Maybe.
I mean, this is Gox. Gox has dragon intelligence. Therefore, if Gox really cared enough to think hard about it.
Gox would also recognize JR, because JR spent so much time on the moon. And yeah, PT looks very much like JR. There's some structural differences, and it is possible that Gox, you can turn Gox into a gold dragon, but Gox is still Gox. It's possible that Gox sees those structural differences that most people from a distance wouldn't notice and go, well, clearly this isn't JR. I don't know why any of you were confusing the two. It's obvious. So it doesn't occur to you that there is a relation between the design for JR and the design for PT.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
you came back here for what?
I don't know.
Gox just nods his head. All right.
Have you ever done the thing that you felt you were born to do and then not known what to do next?
Huh. Is this a trick question?
No, it's literally what happened to me. I was given very specific instructions. I did them. And now I think I'm going to go this way. And
okay.
PT turns and heads south. Into the room that has Long Cap. and Utashi. So.
Okay.
Long Cap and Utashi.
I didn't realize Long Cap was with Utashi.
Well.
I thought.
This is my first turn.
This is. Well, Long Cap, where are you then?
Long Cap is reassembling the skeletal hand that
got smashed.
Got smashed.
Okay. So if you're doing that, those bones were, it got smashed in that south room where Utashi and Old Cap are. Would you have moved the bones out of that room or decided to assemble them in situ?
Oh, that's where they are?
That south room was where the climatic battle took place.
I somehow didn't realize the control thing was in that room. In that case, yes, that's where Long Cap is.
I'm retconning the map to say that the control panel is in there. Because it wasn't on the map. Because
honestly,
the map was third party.
Honestly, I think it may have been. I think there was something in there that looked like it was a control thing, but then we got rather diverted by the whole giant crystal homicidal, cobicidal golem thing.
Or, alternatively, dear listener, it was always there. It was there the whole time. Any conversation that makes you think otherwise was from people who misunderstood, or perhaps you heard it wrong. It's fine. It's fine. It was just there. Believe us. I invoke the power of retcon.
No, I believe you. That's how I remember it.
I just wanted to use the line the whole time again.
Yeah.
So that would mean Longkep is in this room attaching all the finger bones together.
Yep.
Possibly with wire until the spell takes hold.
Yep. Longkep does not have mending.
All right.
I think Itachi does.
And PT walks in. I'm pretty sure Itachi does. Let's take a look.
Yeah.
Yes, Itachi has mending.
Okay.
Which would be really funny because it would take less time to wrap a bit of wire around to hold two bones in place mm-hmm. long enough to cast the spell to reanimate them than it does to cast mending. Because every mending cast is 10 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay, she's not going to do that.
Well, this is Itachi. Itachi still might.
I mean, she might.
And Longkep might let it happen because while you're doing that, you're staying busy while Longkep is taking care of the rest of the hand.
Yes, this is true.
Okay, so she's going to actually do the mending skill there and touch one of the bones that's getting, put together there.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. A PT walks in and says, "Ah, you are still here."
Hi.
Hello.
Should we be somewhere else?
I did not understand all of your motives. I thought that maybe once the teleportation circles were installed and two-way transport was possible, that you might be considering heading home.
Oh, didn't know that.
And she's probably just lost a focus on the mending.
The bone at the tip of the pinky just falls to the ground in a clatter.
I have not yet repaired my assistance.
Would you like some help?
Yes, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
PT does not have mending, but PT is tall for a kobold and is able to hold two things together while somebody wraps them in wire. PT is also able to summon a magical steed. The steed does not have opposable thumbs and is less helpful, so this is not happening. All right. Monty sees this happening and just says, "Well, I managed to make the world stop spinning for Old Kep. I think I'm just going to go exploring now."
Okay.
"Have fun. Don't do anything I wouldn't do."
"What wouldn't you do?"
"It's
How do we know?"
"It's not a very big list."
"Okay."
"Most of the items got added after I reunited with my daughter. It's fine. It's fine."
"Daughter?"
He's already out the door.
"Okay."
He was saying it's fine while he was going out the door.
"Okay, yeah."
Bipaki, are you still exploring?
Yes.
It is getting more and more crowded out here.
I imagine I am going to be widening my radius.
It's your stealth attempts, which I'm not going to require you to roll, are getting easier and easier because the noise of very non-stealthy kobolds is starting to increase from the landing pad as more and more kobolds come through and start doing all the different things that kobolds can do. In the distance, you're not entirely sure, but you think you hear a few wafts of the moss argument.
That wouldn't surprise me.
There's all new mosses. They have to be categorized.
And this one is moss, and this one is moss, and are we in a rainforest?
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, actually, I take that back. I'm going to head to wherever Sori and or Itachi are.
They're in different rooms.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, well, I only have to find one of them.
Okay. Sori is putting bones together to the north. Itachi is putting bones together to the south.
They're different bones.
This is also true. And also, there were different rib cages yesterday, but that's besides the point.
Yes.
And Longcap is not sweeping in to take the ancient kobold skeletons and reuse them.
You would have to fight Maury.
They're a little fragile. I think Sori would also object, honestly.
Whichever one's closer to me.
I'm going to pick Utashi and Longcap. Or you're going to roll some coins.
Okay, Utashi it is.
Okay.
Utashi.
Uh-huh.
Would you please send a sending down to the workshop to let them know that the kobolds got here safely?
Are you sure you want me to do that? Because I kind of forget how many words.
Well, I could ask Sori if you want me to.
She's probably better at it. You've seen what happens okay. when I start doing sendings. It doesn't work. I mean, it works okay. for me, but no one else, so... Yeah. Okay.
All right, I'll go find Sori then. And ask the same thing.
Oh, good idea. I need to tell Deza, right?
Sure. Or, I don't know, the moss one or the robot one. One of the robot ones.
Right.
Someone down there.
You've warned everybody that there's a whole bunch of dragons here, right? They know. And that the one in some... We've got, like, one friendly one?
Smedin has convinced a few other dragons who you haven't spoken a lot with that maybe this what's happening here is kind of neat. But they're not... You're not on the most chummy of terms.
Despite Sori's best efforts, because apparently she likes dragons.
It's
funny that
you know those other dragons exist, but they're like work acquaintances from a different department who you don't really see every day.
They come around and stare from a distance and then fly off again.
Something like that. All right. So you send ascending to Deza, probably.
Yep. That people are starting to come through the portals, and we've secured the defenses, although Sori doesn't know if they're up yet, which is probably about all she has words for without counting carefully.
Jingling Kep came in and attached a few things to the control panel here, then walked out again mumbling to herself.
Sori has no clue until somebody actually tells her, so...
I will let Crash decide how Desire responds, partially because I really am having trouble keeping track of things, partially because I don't know the status of what's going on down in the core.
Well, technically, this is happening on the inside of the planet also.
Oh, well.
So it's not too far away.
Up in the core.
Which is emphasized by the fact that it might be possible that Sori lets slip that, oh, and a lot of kobolds are here already, including like a whole bunch of librarians, and Deza is next to you saying, where are they? Which I'm specifically doing for comedic effect. Also, we've been playing for an hour and 25 minutes. What do you say we take a short break?
Oh, reasonable. Yeah.
All right. And we're back. And there is a loud commotion happening from the records room.
I hope that means that they're actually saving things and it didn't all fall apart.
Well, they don't appear to be angry screams. Or painful screams.
I suppose that the skeletal hand can wait.
Okay.
Curiosity is a potent force.
I have this mental image of, like, I think it was Lefty that got smashed. So Righty is there holding one of the finger bones in place for Lefty as you all walk away. And it's just holding it there. PT walks out also. Then PT comes back and, like, picks up a strand of wire and drapes it over one of the animated hand's fingers. Like, here you go. And then walks out too because PT wants to know what's going on also. So the librarians have only just gotten started on the file cabinets. And there is no saving the material in the cabinets. They are not repairable. But they do have the ability to create a duplicate in better condition of the material in the cabinets. It is tedious and painstaking because not because any individual file is tedious and painstaking, but because of how many files there are. So they only just got started on the cabinet that they were pretty sure was the one that indexed everything else. And much like looking at the index of a book gives you a basic idea of what might be in there without telling you everything, they have discovered a research site. To which some of you pretty much say, yes, we know. This was the landing pad that was used to supply the research site. That's why this is here. That's how we knew this was here. Did we forget to tell you that? Like, yes. It's okay. It's fine. Like, sending only has 25 words. It's fine. That's not the important thing. It's not that there's a research site. This planet is a forge world. It's covered in research sites. It's this research site. How do you think the researchers that died here managed to create a giant crystal death machine?
I do not have the expertise to answer that question.
Okay, fair point. Let's revise the question. We're not asking for the step-by-step. We're asking for the chain of events. They knew how to make a giant crystal death machine because this research center that is connected to this base is where they were doing the crystal research. And they show you the first recovered document, which at first looks very boring. It is a list of shipping patterns, standard shipping patterns, regular schedules. And they all go to and from Cobot Cohort 0001. And that's where we're going to end it for tonight. Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you everyone for playing. Tonight was joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Crash, Ellie, Eo, and Jen. Who wants to plug a thing?
Eo's Mom Writes Books at ElizabethMcCoy.com. And if you, they're ebooks, and if you see one that you like, but you're not sure if you want to buy it, you can ask your local library if they would buy it, because, I mean, a lot of traditional books, they cost a lot for libraries to license. Mine are very cheap, so have a library do it. It'd be great. Speaking of books,
my website is bookofjen.net. I've been putting all kinds of things on there over time. It's been around for a long time. A lot of stuff right now is video games and whatever book reviews I've done, I think, is what I'm doing right now. You can find that at bookofjen.net. I'm also the host of the Shattered Soulstone podcast, which I haven't been doing lately because I got real sick, but I'll come back to it, and that's at shatteredsoulstone.com.
And speaking of websites, you can get all these podcasts for three different games, four different campaigns, by going to aaronbsmith.com/cogwheel. You can follow us on the Fediverse for notices of when the next podcast is out and the out-of-context quotes from when I'm editing these by going to is.aaronbsmith.com/@cogwheel. And you can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/cogwheelgaming and helping us keep the lights on along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shenshen, Walter, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. And until next time, this is Crash saying, well, I did say I was born here. I did not think it would be as literal as it's turning out to be. Good night, everybody.
Good night.